How many of you have ever been boating or own a boat? I've never owned a boat. My grandfather's name was Harold Kessler. They called him Red Kessler. He had a boat that he kept on Lake Erie. And I spent the majority of my childhood summers with him at the lake. And these are the memories, I think, from my childhood that I cherish the most, is my time with my grandfather. I spent so much time with him on the lake and on the boat. I remember two different boats. The first one was a cabin cruiser, a pretty good sized boat. It was 23 or 27 foot. It was pretty big. I remember one time we docked somewhere where you paid by the foot, and I believe the boat got a lot smaller on that trip. I, as a child, was allowed to drive that boat, and I could drive that boat and the other boat that he had as well or better than most adults. I spent so much time with him on the lake. At that point in time, I knew that part of the lake as well or better than many other people. Every time I hear the song Drive by Alan Jackson, where he's talking about the boat that his dad had, I think about my grandfather, and I like the line where he says, it's a piece of my childhood that will never be forgotten. And that's the way it is with me. I could stand here and we could talk for hours on stories from the boat, and the story I'm going to tell you has happened more than one time. But my dad was up there with us, and we were going to do some fishing. So we went out on the lake, and we stopped at a spot where Grandpa thought would be a good place to fish. He told my dad, he said, go up on the bow, and he said, toss that anchor overboard. I don't know why he didn't. I don't know what happened. But my dad just grabbed that anchor, threw it over the bow, and guess what? It wasn't tied to anything. That anchor, the rope, everything, bloop, 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 right down to the bottom of the lake. And needless to say, my dad took a lot of ribbing from that one because he didn't look, he didn't check it, he didn't see. I don't remember if he bought Grandpa another anchor, but I do remember it wasn't much after that that we were going fishing again, and we stopped. And Grandpa said, George, get up on the bow and throw that anchor out. He says, is it tied down? Grandpa said, yeah, it's tied down. And Grandpa was being serious this time. He wasn't joking around. He wasn't clowning. He was serious. And there must have been a bunch of rope up there. There must have been a lot of other things up there. He was sure. And my dad kept asking because he didn't want to take any more teasing, I don't think. He said, yeah, that anchor is tied down. So my dad went up to the bow, threw that anchor over, and guess what? Bloop, 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 bloop. Anchor, rope, everything, right back to the bottom of the lake. Needless to say, Grandpa took the hit for that one. He kept taking the teasing. But the funny thing about an anchor is, it doesn't do you a lot of good if it's not tied to anything. If you throw that anchor over and it's not tied to anything, your boat just floats around. The waves move it where they want to take it. The wind blows it where it wants to take it. If that anchor's not tied to that boat, it's not going to do you much good. Jesus Christ is our anchor, and unless you tie that anchor to your heart, your life will drift around, it'll be tossed, and it'll be moved in every direction. And oftentimes, your life is going to be tossed in a direction you don't care to go. It's going to be tossed in a direction you don't want to go. And your life is going to feel out of control because you don't have that anchor of Jesus Christ tied to your heart. You know, there were many times, and if my parents knew about this, it probably would have scared them to death. There were many times that Grandpa and I were on the lake in some pretty nasty storms. And we would hide, and we'd go to a side of an island where it would be either real calm or fairly calm. And we'd drop anchor right there, and we would just sit and ride out the storm. And that was the safest thing to do. In life, we're going to face many, many storms. And it is only with Jesus Christ as your anchor that you're going to be able to hold fast and weather out the storm. And as long as I was with Grandpa Red, and as long as the boat was anchored down, I felt safe and secure. And it's strange and yet an awesome sight to see the storm kind of beating everything around you, and that you're fairly calm. You're fairly safe. And as long as we have Jesus Christ as our anchor, we too can feel safe. And we can feel secure through the roughest of storms that life can bring you. Yes, there will be storms. Praise be to Father God that He has given us an anchor. He has given us Jesus Christ to help our lives and to help us get through these terrible storms. This morning we're going to talk about some storms. I'm going to attach some names to these storms. We're going to look at some of the different storms in life. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Jonah was told by God. He said, "Go to Nineveh. It's a wicked city. I want you to preach to this city." Jonah says, "Uh-uh." He says, "I'm not going to Nineveh." So he goes down to Joppa, and he pays his fare, he pays his money, he hires a boat to take him, or actually they're going to let him ride along with him to Tarshish. This was a cargo ship. And in verse 3, where it says that he went down to go with them, he went down in to go with them, I believe that Jonah felt somewhat safe and secure. I think that Jonah probably felt like he was hiding from God in that boat. But you can't hide from God, and you can't hide from His instructions. And in verse 4, it says, "The Lord hurled a great storm against the sea, and the ship was about to break apart." Jonah says, "I'm going to hide." God says, "No, you're not." He's in the boat, they're going along, and a great big storm comes up. Now, we know from the story that Jonah had explained to these people why he was running. They knew what he was doing. And as the storm was getting worse and worse, Jonah said, "Just throw me overboard. Just go ahead and throw me overboard." And they didn't want to do it at first. They said, "We don't want your death on our hands." But Jonah said, "This is my fault. I'm running from God." He said, "Just throw me on overboard. I'm the cause of your problem." Scripture tells us that they threw Jonah overboard, and immediately the storm stopped. And we know that a great fish swallowed Jonah. and that Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish. We also know, if you read the account of the story, that Jonah spent 3 days and three nights praying. Praying to God, because he knew. He knew he had disobeyed and tried to hide. We know that the fish spit Jonah back up on the shore. And you know, as you look at that story, you would think Jonah might have learned a lesson. But it says that God called Jonah again. Apparently, he didn't go straight to Nineveh. God had to call him a second time. And this time, Jonah obeyed God. And it was because of his disobedience. It was because of Jonah not doing what God had asked him to do that Jonah had to face what I'm going to call a storm of discipline and correction. Oftentimes, when we go through the storms in life, it's because we've caused the problems to ourselves. We disobey God and we disobey His commands. And when we do that, that's when we are likely to go through some of the most terrible and troublesome times. Disobedience is something God will not and cannot tolerate. And Jonah, he wasn't going to obey. And Jonah went through what he went through because of his disobedience. The next time that you're tempted to do something that you know God would never approve of, I want you to think about Jonah. Think about his life and think about the stories and the times you've heard about the story of Jonah. Because when you disobey God and when you do not listen to His commands, I promise you there will be consequences and there will be problems. You may be going through a storm right now, but the next time life brings you a terrible, terrible storm, it might be a good idea to just step back for a minute and say, did I do this to myself? Did I cause this storm? Did I disobey God? Was there something I did? And maybe this is why I'm going through this. Oftentimes, when life isn't going our way, we have a tendency to blame everyone. We have a tendency to blame anyone and everyone except the one who deserves it. And that's yourself. A lot of times we do it to ourselves. Think about the life of Joseph. We've talked about Joseph in the past and everything that Joseph went through and the troubles that Joseph went through. And you know, he really didn't do anything wrong. He didn't really do anything to deserve what he had been through. However, it was because of the storms in Joseph's life, it was because of what Joseph had been through that he became the man he was. And how many lives were saved because of Joseph and what he really went through and the storms he faced in life? Think about Moses. Here's a child, when he was born, should have been killed. His mother hid him, made him a basket, put him in the river. He's found by royalty. He lives a royal gifted life. He could have been content to stay right there and live his life out, wealthy and comfortable. But Moses killed a man. He thought he got away with murder. He thought he got away with the perfect crime. Moses killed a man. The Pharaoh then wanted him dead. And Moses fled. And he went to Midian. And it was those years of learning and those years of trials, those years living the way he had to live, that his life was refined and that his life was made into exactly what God needed so he could lead the children of Israel out of bondage. Moses was the right man. And these are examples of what I'm going to call a perfecting storm. Because these men, they went through a lot. They had a lot of trials in their lives. Yet everything that they did, everything that they experienced, with all the troubles that they had, it molded their lives. It molded their lives. And it made them into the men that God needed for the task that he wanted each of them to do. There's another kind of storm that we're going to look at here today. And in Matthew chapter 14, in Matthew 14, we're reading about an extremely busy and trying period of time for Jesus and for his disciples. Jesus had found out, he'd heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded and was now dead. And Jesus needed to get away. He needed some alone time. But the people, they just kept following Jesus. And they kept following Jesus everywhere he went. And as tired as he was, and as tired as the disciples were, as worn out as everybody was, Jesus still had compassion on the people. And he preached, and he taught those people, and he healed the sick. He's still working. He's still doing what he knows he needs to do. And we find out that it's getting kind of late in the day. It's getting kind of late, and everybody's hungry. Everybody's hungry. And Jesus said, well, let's feed them. And the disciples are like, are you kidding me? Look how many people there are here. And Jesus said, well, gather up what food that you have. And we know from Scripture that they found 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus blessed the food. And Scripture tells us that with those 5 loaves, and 2 fish, that Jesus fed over 5,000 people. Scholars will tell you that that number is probably a little low. It's mostly the men is what was counted. They've witnessed this miracle. And it's still getting late. Jesus still has not had that time. He still has not had that alone time that he so desperately needed. So he told the disciples, he said, you guys go on out in the boat, get out in the sea. I'm going to go up here. I'm going to stay here on dry land and I'm going to pray. He said, you guys go on out in the boat. I'm going to go up here and pray. And we're in Matthew chapter 14, down to verse 23. We're going to look at 23 to 26. And it says, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. The disciples were in the boat. We know that some of them were fishermen. However, while they're in this boat, the wind picks up, it begins to blow, a terrible storm begins to rage, and the boat is being tossed and battered around. The waves are getting bigger and bigger, and I'm sure that even for the experienced sailors on this boat, this storm was very scary to them. It says it's early in the morning. It's sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And you know that the disciples, they've got to be getting tired. They're just basically fighting for their lives in this boat. Fear was starting to take a big factor in the whole situation. And lo and behold, in verses 25 and 26, we see that Jesus was walking to the boat on the water. Now, you know, he could have calmed that storm from the shore, but he chose to walk on the water to the disciples in the boat. And they were so scared, they were so upset, that they cried out in fear because they thought they were seeing a ghost. They thought they were seeing a ghost out on the water. Isn't that the way it is with us most of the time? When we go through the storms of life, we often lose sight of Jesus Christ and we think that we need to try to fix our problems ourselves. When's the last time that you've prayed for guidance through the storm? Jesus is always with us, yet it is during these stormy times that we don't seem to look for Jesus. We do not seem to see Him. Maybe we've just stopped looking for Him altogether. The next time that you face one of life's raging storms, stop and look and listen. Because Jesus is there to guide you, if you'll only let Him do that. And you're never alone. You're never abandoned, no matter how you feel. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good." You're not alone. You're never alone. And as we think about the account of Jesus walking on the water, there's a couple of things that I want to point out to you. There are probably an endless number of ways that Jesus could have gotten to that boat or on that boat. Like I said, He could have calmed the storm from the shore, but He chose to walk on the water to the boat. And I think what Jesus is doing here is He's trying to tell His disciples that He is the master over anything in life that you might fear. Jesus is trying to tell them that He is greater than any fear they might have. Jesus is greater than any fear you might have. And Jesus was trying to calm them down. In verse 27, Jesus says, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus is telling you and me the same thing. When life gives you those raging storms, don't be afraid, but look to Jesus. Cling to Him. And take comfort in His words, because Jesus is your anchor through the roughest of storms. Let's continue in Matthew. Look at verses 28 to 33. 28 to 33. Peter said to Him, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." And He said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "You are certainly God's Son." As Jesus was approaching the boat, Peter looks out. Peter says, "If that's You, let me come out of the boat and walk on the water too." Jesus says, "Come on." He says, "Come on, the water's fine. Get your feet wet. Come on, Peter. Come on out and take a walk with me." Peter, being very true to Peter's personality, he jumps out of the boat. And in verse 29, he's walking towards Jesus. Think for a minute. Stop and think for a minute about what the disciples are seeing that's in the boat. They're seeing Jesus walking towards them on the water. And they're seeing a man that was in the boat with them just a minute ago, trying to help him fight through this storm. And now he's walking on the water. Can you imagine the sight where they're able to look out and see Jesus and Peter walking towards each other on the water? When's the last time you took a walk with Jesus Christ and got your feet wet? When's the last time you said, Jesus, I want to walk with you? So what happens? Peter, he's walking towards Jesus, isn't he? And then he looks around. He takes a look around and he realizes, he's thinking, oh my goodness, I'm walking on the water. Peter says, I'm walking on the water and the wind is just blowing all around me. And when Peter looks around, that's the beginning of his problems. Peter made the mistake of taking his eyes off of Jesus. And he started looking at the world around him. Suddenly Peter realized he was walking on water, and he was walking on water in the middle of a big storm. And as he started to sink, he looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, save me. Jesus reached down, he took hold of Peter, and he saved Peter. And what did he say? He said, Peter, he said, is your faith that small? Is your faith so small that you can't take a walk with me? He asked Peter, is your faith that small? He says, why did you ever doubt? Why did you ever doubt? And we're the same way sometimes, aren't we? We think we can do things ourselves, so we decide, let's just go ahead and do it. There's no prayer. There's no meditation. We don't think about it. We don't worry about the consequences. We just go ahead and do what we want to do, no matter what. We turn our backs on Jesus and we tell him, I can do it myself. I don't need you. We reason it out within ourselves and say, I can do it. Or we'll reason it out and say, everybody else is doing it. But eventually, we too will begin to sink. It's when we have that awful sinking feeling that we cry out, Lord, save me. And these are the times that we realize maybe our faith was not quite as strong as we thought it was. These are the times that we've taken our eyes off of Jesus Christ. And these are the times that we look everywhere. We look everywhere but where we should be looking. Jesus Christ is our anchor and our stronghold in time of trouble. If we live our lives without Jesus as our anchor, we will be driven around by the waves and by the wind, and we will be tossed around. Our lives will soon become battered and torn, because without Jesus as your anchor in your life is adrift. My prayer for you is that you will tie Jesus as the anchor to your heart and to your life. Thank you, and may God bless.